From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 14th day of April, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will be along with a look at the cash grain market. We'll discuss the weather forecast with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Dave Dickey, your director of agricultural programming, will have an update of the latest agricultural news. And we'll hear Daryl Good's thoughts on the price of corn this year and next. And it all happens on our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, in Chicago for this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly higher. Nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat in the May at $6.78¾, up 18.5 cents. July at $6.86¾, 18.5 cents higher as well. That's the harvest month. The harvest month, July, for the hard red at $7.48¼, 22.25 cents higher. May corn futures, $5.03, up 4.5. July at $5.09¼, 4¾ higher. And September contract at $5.06¾, up 4¼. December corn, that's the new crop, at $5.03½, up 4¼ cents. And March futures at $5.11, 4 cents higher. May of next year, $5.16½, up 4. July of next year at $5.21¼, up 4½ cents. May soybeans at $14.76¼, 13¼ the gain. July futures at $14.63½, up 16¼. The August beans at $13.92¼, up 13¼. November contract or the new crop at $12.20, 5¼ higher. In January futures at $12.25¼, finished up 5 cents. Bean meal futures at $4.79¼, up 6¢. And the bean oil today at $42.26, up 16 cents for the afternoon. Let's take a look, if we can, at what the Weather Service is calling for in the next, several minutes as we look forward to some lower temperatures for the day. 42 degrees outside right now here at the radio station. That's WILL, AM 580 on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. This program does come, of course, to you from Illinois Public Media. You can find it anytime you'd like at our website at willag.org. Should go much colder this evening, I think, down to about 26 degrees in the area. Maybe a few snow flurries, too. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll take a look at those numbers with the folks at Earth Risk Technologies.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's take a quick look at the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day at $103.63 a barrel. That's down 11 cents. The RBOB gasoline, or the wholesale price, at $3.03¼ a penny and 7 cents higher. And ethanol futures at this hour, $2.32¼, down 6¾. The spread between those two is 71 cents wide. That's 8 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.56¼ is a nickel and 9 cents lower on the day. And diesel fuel at $2.97¾ is 4¾ of a cent higher for the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,327.20, up $8.60, and the U.S. dollar at 79.72. That's up 0.27 for the afternoon. Just a thank you at this point for all of those who called in last week during our spring pledge drive with their financial support. Dave Dickey and I really do appreciate that. If you didn't get a chance, don't worry, you still can do it. You can always make a phone call or just go to our website. It's a whole lot easier. Anytime you'd like to pledge your financial support to us, just hit that red button up at the top of the page at willag.org. By the way, you'll find all of our agricultural programming there anytime you'd like, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It is the 14th day of April. On the phone line with us for a Monday afternoon is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it looks to me like there were a couple of things happening, and maybe wheat was leading the way. Part of it is weather-driven, I suppose, and then the Russians and the Ukrainians are still having some problems, and I guess that might be in the market too. What do you think?
Yeah, you pretty well hit it right on the head there. Especially the wheat that's got some fairly good growth to it. I believe at the joining stage or so, it takes about 24 degrees for about 3 to 4 hours when it starts to damage. But if it's still relatively in the tillering stage there, it needs to be 12 degrees for over 6 hours. So this really depends on what stage of growth we're at. But there's concern, especially if it's your wheat field, particularly. Overall, we'll see how low the temperatures dip and what type of reports we receive back. Past history, I've had producers, thought it was pretty well fried and done and was able to come back. It's just about like a cat, with 9 lives to it. So we'll see what develops out of that. That was supportive. And then secondly, as you mentioned, some more unrest in Russia, Ukraine. Long story short, that's going to continue to develop or continue to be news item worthy, for quite some time in the future here.
Where are we most concerned about wheat? Is it the soft red winter or the hard red or both at this time?
Well, a little bit of both, but the main would be the hard red winter wheat, particularly, it's under dry stress and it's a little bit more critical versus the soft red winter wheat. But as I mentioned, if it's your field, it's top priority.
Yeah, so what tonight we're looking in Kansas City at a 28-degree low. So, but that wheat belt stretches a long ways out there, so we'll have to watch a whole lot of numbers overnight, I guess.
Yeah, it's something that's newsworthy to talk about. From a trading perspective, we took advantage of the higher market and sold the market here from a trader's point of view with the idea that, we build the bullish news in and get some type of correction tomorrow. So we'll see how smart we are here over the next few days.
We have $5 corn. Is there a place for producers to think about marketing 13, 14, and do you look out to 15?
Well, this is a spot that anybody would have given to be able to sell back there in January. We're here, and I think you got to take advantage of it. As far as the D14 goes, with our next upside target to make some sales, 525 and 545. So we'll see if those develop. If we don't resume this trend here or keep this trend going, backup plan would be, continue to use the price floor strategy and keep your cash grain or hedge to arrive contracts pretty well open for say. There's nothing wrong going out and doing a little 15. I hate to do a whole lot out there unless you can lock everything in.
It is a long way away, isn't it?
Yeah, of course I wouldn't sell anything on out 17, 18, or 19, Todd.
yeah, I seem to recall that, and that's been one of your things. And maybe you can go through that really quickly, because you have some thoughts further out that there is a move left in this marketplace 3-4 years out.
Well, I believe that we've seen a lot of bull markets in the past, and, what's the next thing that's going to take hold, and I believe it was going to be feed demand in general. I believe the Asian purchase of Smithfield pork processor and so forth is strictly food security for Asia. Because when you look at what they did and try to put two to two together, it just, right there in front of you. And I believe that purchase was the great pork robbery of 2013. As we move down the road, those hogs from the U.S. is going to be move to Asia, and it's going to keep pork profitable, and that over time, a lot of you guys have gotten out of hogs, you'll be back into the hog 4-H program again, because I think it's going to be very lucrative, increasing feed demand. So the next big bull market, super cycle of the upside, is going to be feed demand here in the U.S.
But on the near term, while hogs are off their top, though they're really still pretty high priced.
Yeah, they're going to remain somewhat firm here for a while from the fact that we're looking with some smaller supplies. We haven't seen the full effect of the pigs we lost here this winter, so the hog market is going to be very volatile. When you look at the August futures down there, there's a substantial discount to where cash is at the present time. So the next phase is going to be the meat phase, some good old-fashioned demand here in the U.S.
Let's come back to the grains and the oil seeds, corn in particular. Producers would, in your area, I'm sure, would have liked to have had some acres planted. I doubt that there are any, there might be a few, but not very many at all, in central Illinois and the northern part of the state that have been put in the ground.
No, it's on south of here, there's been some put in the ground. There's been some put in the ground. It's been sitting there for about 2 weeks, too, in certain areas. But everybody's ready to go. Quite a bit of anhydrous was put on. So it's just a matter of sort of drying out here again, warming up a little bit. This afternoon's planting progress is expected to be about 3-5% as a nation. We start getting towards the end of April here. That'll be a little bit more critical for say, but the trade's still looking at the ability of the American farmer to cover a lot of ground in a short period of time.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Very good, Todd. Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and joins us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the commodity markets and how they have been trading in Chicago at the CME Group.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Have you visited our website lately? I hope so, but if not, try out willag.org. If you can't get to the websites, hear us on one of our radio stations. Dial in at this number, 217-333-3434. We update it at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day with some of the numbers and a bit of analysis. The number again, 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey is here now. He's the Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, and will take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, American brewery and dairy industries are joining forces to ask the Food and Drug Administration to reconsider proposed livestock feed regulations they claim would be costly to comply with and would make the sale of brewers' grains difficult. A number of industries are asking FDA to exempt American brewers from draft regulations issued under the Food Safety Modernization Act. The Beer Institute estimates that a single large brewery, in order to comply with the proposed rule, could see annual costs as high as $13.6 million a year. Under the Food Safety Modernization Act, the sanitation and safety standards required for human food would also apply to animal feed, making it much harder to use brewers' grains and would result in increased costs to dairy producers. The National Milk Producers Federation, representing more than 32,000 dairy producers, argues that the proposed regulations incorrectly impose safety standards on animal feed that are similar to those for human food. The U.S. Grains Council has released its 2013-14 corn export cargo quality report. The report contains reports from the quality of U.S. corn sampled and measured at the point of loading for export from three export channels: the Gulf of Mexico, the Pacific Northwest, and inland terminals shipping corn by rail to Mexico. The report found that overall quality of U.S. corn continues to be very good and regularly exceeds standards for U.S. number two on all grading scales. In coming weeks, the council will be presenting the report to buyers around the world. DuPont Pioneer agronomists say continuous corn can take a toll on crop yield That according to a six-year study conducted in Illinois. The report found continuous corn yielded 25 bushels per acre less than corn planted following soybeans. Nitrogen was the most important factor in explaining the loss. The number of years a field was planted to corn was the second most important component of the yield penalty. Weather proved to be the third yield driver. DuPont Pioneer agronomists concluded that the two important management practices for achieving high continuous corn yields were planting continuous corn on highly productive soils and managing corn residues. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, and that means that you're a big part of why we're here. Let me take time right now to thank you, all of you that called in your pledge or maybe did that on the web last week during our spring pledge drive. Dave Dickey and I really do appreciate your help. Now up next, you know, farmers are going to the field this spring feeling much better about the price of corn. That's relatively speaking. I'll have more on the reasons why things have gone from dire to acceptable. When the corn planters roll in force across the Midwest this spring, their owners will be far more optimistic than just a few months ago. Late in December, the market for corn looked to be truly tanking. However, demand for the grain has been strong, and it looks to stay strong enough to use up the better part of a big crop that was harvested last fall. Strong demand has caused USDA to lower the projected number of leftover bushels. It's down for 5 months running, notes University of Illinois ag economist Darryl Good.
Continues a multi-month process of lowering that projected year-ending stocks down to a very reasonable level now, not nearly as burdensome as what we thought it would be last fall.
Compared to usage projections made in November, current projections are 100 million bushels larger for corn used for ethanol production, 350 million bushels larger for exports, and 100 million bushels larger in the feed and residual category. It leaves about 1.35 billion bushels in the bin. That's called the carryout, or the ending stocks figure, and impacts how much corn USDA will project to be left in the bin 18 months from now, too.
And I would guess that they're going to project only a modest buildup in corn inventories next year. So that suggests corn prices next year could challenge what we saw this year, something in the low to mid-$4 range. The market currently is above that, I think, as it's probably factoring in some production risk here with the late spring we're experiencing. But again, I would not expect to see a forecast of sharply lower corn prices for the next marketing year.
Well, the whole thing is a moving target, but right now it appears to be pointing to a bit higher season's average cash price for corn this year and one next year that could be, well, about the same. Both those figures are higher than would have been projected late last fall. You can read Darryl Good's thoughts on the price of corn, usage and demand, and what it all means on the FarmDoc Daily website. It was posted there just today in the weekly outlook at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market for the 14th day of April. On the phone line with us is Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, thanks for being on Commodity Week last Friday with us. The John Bondurant show was really good, and I would... Again, maybe you can give me your opinion, but I think people ought to go back and listen to it if they haven't already. It's up on the website at willag.org.
Yeah, not only do we get a perspective from the southern point of view, but we also get a perspective from what funds are looking at, and maybe even, you know, he's more of a fundamentalist. We get a little bit more of a fundamental view too, longer term. I don't think he worries too much about short-term moves. He focuses on the big picture, and I think that's probably not a bad idea to keep in mind.
Yeah, and it is important, I suppose, and maybe to give you the listeners a little reason to go to the website is that while you heard about 26 minutes of that program on the air. We went another almost 26 minutes after the fact. So there's a 53-minute program up on the website that you can listen to. And the second half of the program is really good. That part where we just had a discussion, and it's really a conversation as opposed to me asking questions. Everybody's asking questions and bantering back and forth. It was really, really good. Tell me about what's been happening in the cash grain market, what happened overnight and the weekend, and then what you see, because it appears wheat's the leader at the moment, but how long that'll remain the case is, I guess, debatable.
Yeah, there was some rain in the forecast over the weekend, and there was some out west in those southern plain states of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, but not nearly enough. And there's another chance this weekend, but again, we seem to be in a dry pattern. So until that pattern changes, I think traders are justifiably nervous about wanting to short wheat, especially after the big sell-off we had last week. And you throw in some concerns about the Ukraine on top of that, and that's why wheat was higher. And until they get some rain, probably, has a little bit more upside to it.
The soy complex had a nice little bump in it today, too.
Especially in the old crop. And old crop, there are so few old crop beans left, and we're going to have to import beans. So, until we get all the logistics worked out, shorting old crop beans is fraught with peril. Now, new crop beans are kind of, they're tagging along for the ride, but I still think at some point in time they're going to have to stand on their own. But it's still plenty early, so there's a lot of things that can go wrong or right.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the peril in the old crop beans. Is it just because we don't know whether they can bring the beans in? It's a long ways to ship it. And I don't know that it's that we can't bring the beans in. It's just amount of money, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But if you're a processor in central Iowa, let's say, you can import beans into the East Coast, but now you have to get rail logistics, and maybe one rail line doesn't go all the way there, so now you've got to work with two or three different rail lines, and, it can be done. It's just, some people are not going to want to go through all that, and they're just going to pay a little bit extra for U.S. beans because that's the way they've always done it.
I suppose rail logistics would be okay in that part of the world, but if you were in the northwestern part, it might not be that easy.
Exactly.
It'd be a lot harder there, I suppose.
Yeah, hopefully at some point in time they'll get that worked out, but it's going to take time. If they didn't get into that mess overnight, that's been years in the making, and it's going to take months to get that logjam settled out.
Farmers probably have been nervous thinking about getting into the field, but they've had a lot more time to look at the marketplace, and the planters are ready. So I suppose they're talking to you about both old and new crop corn. What are they asking?
Yes, old crop corn. They we're getting close to $5. The board's at $5, and basis is 10 under, let's say, 10 to 12 under, 15 under. So we're getting close to $5 cash price, and that will move corn. And I think on new crop as well, it seems like $5 new crop corn would move corn off the farm, but we haven't, we need to get about another 20 cents in the board. Now, whether we get that or not remains to be seen. We'll see what the funds do and what the weather does. So maybe farmers will get a chance to sell $5 corn yet.
Yeah, they'll get a chance, but will they do it?
They should. I hope. I think they will. And I think if they get into the field too, it seems like they feel a little bit more comfortable selling new crop corn and old crop corn for that matter. Once they get in the field, we just after last year, we're just not guaranteed to be in the field, when we'd like to be.
And your bids for the day:
cash corn $4.91, new corn $4.78, cash beans $14.86, new beans $12 even. And new wheat, $6.67.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Pecan Day. Pecans are native to North America and is a member of the hickory family. During the 1700s and the early 1800s, the pecan became an item of commerce for the American colonists, and the pecan industry was born. Today, the U.S. is responsible for more than 80% of the world's pecan crop. Astronauts took pecans to the moon during two Apollo space missions. By the way, it would take 10 billion pecans stacked end to end to reach the moon. On this day in agricultural history in 1927, Clarence Birdseye of Massachusetts received a British patent for frozen fish fingers. As a trapper and biologist in Labrador, Birdseye had noticed that fish and caribou meat, frozen for months, tasted just as good as fresh fish and meat. The secret was to duplicate these sub-zero temperatures in nature. Birdseye spent 8 years trying to recreate the effects of nature until he developed a satisfactory commercial system for quick freezing. And in 1964, Rachel Louise Carson died. An American biologist, Carson was well known for her writings on environmental pollution. In her book, Silent Spring, Carson warned about the long-term effects of misusing pesticides, especially the dangers of DDT. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the April 14 edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Mark Russo. He's at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's been really nice. Then we woke up today, and it's not. Although, I have to admit, rainfall actually is kind of helpful at this point. There are some places that have been awfully dry, so maybe you can take us through amounts, what we did have, when that'll dry up, and when we'll get some heat that'll put some soil temperatures back in and we can plant corn.
Well, with this rain event here that ended up in, I should call it a precip event, since there's actually some snow going on right now in portions of the central Corn Belt. Overall, the areas that picked up at least half an inch was the vast majority of Illinois, with the exception of kind of the north central and east central areas, kind of in and around your neck of the woods there in Champaign-Urbana and points north, getting close to Chicago. That best areas here in Illinois that picked up over an inch were the far northern counties towards the Wisconsin border. And overall across the Corn Belt, it was much of central eastern Iowa and southern Wisconsin that picked up the heaviest totals in excess of 2 inches. So with the pattern here for the remainder of this week, following these rains, it will be unseasonably cold through basically the balance of the week as we continue to see these unseasonably cold temperatures. And along with that will be some additional opportunities for precips. So all in all, it looks like a pretty quiet week here, at least for any kind of planting progress here across not only Illinois, but across much of the Corn Belt on account of the colder temperatures now and the rains that fell and more rain on the way. A better week is likely next week, although there still will be some rain activity, but we do see temperatures kind of returning to more seasonal levels across the Midwest. So this cold that you're seeing right now, it does look, Todd, that improvement is on the way. We have to wait a week, though.
It looks to me like that cold stretches and stays pretty far south this time around, too, so that if you get into the Memphis, Tennessee areas, their overnight lows are pretty steep, even deeper into the week.
Yeah, and certainly this this cold front here pushed all the way into the Gulf Coast, and you know, we're seeing very chilly temperatures in places across the plains, hard red and winter wheat belt, and that's an item closely watching with temperatures. Well, this morning and again tomorrow morning across areas of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas with jointing wheat, are these temperatures cold enough to cause some problems? And it looks like they're basically at those levels here, temperatures in the mid to upper 20s across those regions.
And usually it has to stay there for 2-3 hours for any real damage to happen. You think that'll happen tonight?
For areas of the plains hard red, it's not out of the question a few pockets could sustain some damage. Does it look like a widespread damage event? At this time, it doesn't look to be the case, but certainly you are reaching those threshold levels for about 2 to 3 hours, particularly southwestern Kansas, where there is more jointing wheat here, and actually that's the area that we'll see some of your coldest temperatures with readings in the mid-20s. For the Midwest soft red belt, though, likely the crop's just not advanced enough for this cold weather to be of any kind of threat.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Don.
Mark Russo is with Earth Risk Technology. He is in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. Stay warm. We'll get the corn crop planted soon enough. I'm Yule Vi Extensions, Todd Gleason.